Well, tonight, brothers and sisters, I'd like us to have a particular focus on verse 4 in chapter 2, which reads, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And, of course, this is a very significant verse in the book of Habakkuk. It marks a turning point in the book itself and in the prophet's message. And it really gets to the heart of the message, the vision of the whole book. But as I'm sure you also know, this verse is quoted 3 times in the New Testament, in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. And you could almost say it is the key Old Testament quotation that you find in the New Testament to explain God's way of salvation. That we are justified by faith, not by our works. We're saved by grace and not by our own merits. But what I really want to consider this morning is the contrast that we're given in this verse. Between the proud and the just. And I think it really brings out an important, essential element of faith, or the true spirit of real faith, that humility lies at the very heart of what faith really is. And this contrast between the proud and those who live by faith, it really brings out this contrast between the proud and humility. So if I could put it this way, saving faith, the kind of faith that this verse speaks about, saving faith is a humble faith. It's a humble faith. Someone with true faith will be humble. And really these two things must always go together, humility and faith. So we're told to behold the proud. And in context, this has to mean the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, who are going to invade Judah. And particularly Nebuchadnezzar as their leader. He must be the proud man we're told about in verse 5, who's heaping up nations, who's guilty of great bloodshed, who is expanding his empire and taking over other countries. And remember the context. The Lord's told the prophet, in answer to his cries for justice, he has sent the Babylonians. There will be a judgment on Judah and God's people. But it does make you think as well. What he describes in this description from verse 5 onwards, really to the end of the chapter, it isn't just about Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. There's something of a broader picture as well being painted. Really, there's a lot here that applies to man in sin. And again, in the context of the book, when Habakkuk's been looking at the corruption and the wickedness in Judah, surely this is also a reflection on some of the kind of men in Judah. This is a description of some of their sins as well, and why the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar's coming on them. And the problem he's telling us is they're all proud. That's the root of this sinful behavior. Behold the proud. They're proud, whether that's Nebuchadnezzar or the wicked corruptors in Judah. They seize and take from others, verse 5. They boast in their own strength and power, and they care nothing for who they trample on to satisfy their own selfish ends. They use force and violence, verse 12. You do get the sense that your human life is cheap to them. It doesn't matter if there's victims, if they get the power they want. And not only do they believe in themselves and serve themselves, they worship gods they've made for themselves. Verse 18, the conclusion of this description of their ungodly character, is it's rooted in their idolatry. They're man-made gods. If you remember, at the heart of idolatry, it's a very different relationship than we think of having with the Lord in his covenant. Idolatry is about power. Idolatry is about making a bargain with your supposed God, or bribing them, getting them on your side. And all of it together, if you read through this whole chapter at some point, it's just the most despicable picture of a proud, arrogant person trampling on others, all for their own selfish gain. This is what pride in the heart does. But it's also, this section, an announcement of God's judgment. You'll see that the Lord pronounces five woes, which are five curses on the proud. And this is the beginning of the answer to Habakkuk's cry for justice, for God to do something about evil. The Lord is announcing from his throne these woes, these judgments will be done. Justice will be done on the proud. And of course, such is the power of God's word as the king, as he's pronouncing this woe, it now means it's inevitable. God's word will bring it about. And when you read through this passage, there's kind of this recurring thread that the proud are delusional. That they have this delusion they can do all of this wickedness without consequences. Almost like it's a bit of a shock to them that it's going to come back on their own head. You've plundered many nations, they shall plunder you. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, but doesn't know that the earth is the Lord's, will be the Lord's. There's a kind of delusion. They're not living in the real world. They're blinded by their pride to God. Now, literally in verse 4, it doesn't say proud. It says their soul is lifted up. They've lifted themselves up before God, against God. They lift themselves up over others. So it's thinking they're better than others. But it means their soul is not upright. It's not straight. It's twisted within them. It's warped. It's crooked because of this lifting up pride. And as I say this, I don't think this is just a description of insight into Nebuchadnezzar. This is giving us an insight into sin. Pride in every sinful man's heart. And that's not saying that every single sinner is going to be guilty of violence and cruelty on a scale that's here. Of course not. But it is showing us what's in man's heart. I think we find it hard to really believe what the Bible says about how wicked the human heart is. But if you think about the Lord's words about every kind of fornication, immorality, blasphemy comes out of man's heart. If you think of the words of Jeremiah, man's heart is unbelievably wicked. Who can understand it? There's an opening up to us here of just, even if somebody doesn't commit such vile acts, they will think vile things about taking from others. They will have vile lusts in the heart. There will be a denial of God and an idolatry. There's this root of sin and pride in every fallen heart. But all of this is to really help us see the contrast, to see the humility of the righteous, the just, who are so because they live by faith. And of course, this is, as Paul will explain to us in the New Testament, a wonderful summary of the doctrine of justification by faith. That wonderful good news and the only hope for all of us, that despite our corrupt sinful hearts, we can receive by faith and faith alone, in God's promise, a complete salvation that makes us just and righteous before God, so that we are forgiven our sin and counted righteous in God's sight. The righteousness of Christ counted as being ours, and we stand upright before God's judgment, and we are justified through receiving this by faith, not because of something we do or deserve. But in context, can you see how it's really making us think about humility needs to be at the heart of that? And what it suggests to me, brothers and sisters, is that there's a bit of a virtuous circle. The truth of Justification by faith produces humility in us. And the more we truly learn to be humble, the more we'll see the glory of justification by faith as the only hope. And the more we know that truth, the more it should affect our character. And the more our character changes, the more we shall love this truth. So there is something of a virtuous circle here. The opposite of pride is humility, and humility is at the heart of justifying faith. The opposite of being lifted up is that you humbly lower yourself before God to confess your sin. You lower yourself before others because you're saying, I'm not better than others. I'm not more deserving. I can't take from others or think I'm more important. Living by faith means, well, yes, I rest and receive salvation as God gives it. But also, as we've already seen in this book, the whole of the Christian life is lived by faith. Waiting on God and receiving what God gives and when God gives it. There's this great contrast, isn't there? The unrighteous here are snatching whatever they can get their hands on of worldly things and of power when they want it now. And what have we seen with Habakkuk? It's about by faith waiting. We wait for the kingdom. We wait for what God will give us throughout this life. And of course, we don't arrogantly worship man-made gods. We worship the only true and living God, and we give him the glory. So as Paul says in Romans, this saving faith, at the heart of it is humility, the opposite of the proud. We confess our sinfulness. We cast ourselves totally on Christ and his merits because we have none of our own. You could say that one of the main things Habakkuk is saying to us in this contrast is the same thing that the Lord Jesus teaches us in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee lifts up his eyes to heaven. He's lifted up. He's the proud man. And he boasts in what he's done and how he's better than others and deserves God's blessing. And of course, he goes away rejected by God. And it's the tax collector who doesn't even dare lift his eyes to heaven. But he's humbling himself, who knows he's not fit to look upon God. And all he can do is pray, Lord, be merciful to me. Be propitiated to me through the sacrifice you provide. And he, because of that humility, goes away justified. They say, don't they, that everybody's got one book in them that they'd like to write. If I ever had that privilege, I think I'd love to write a book called Salvation by Humility Alone, as a play on words on the soul as in faith alone. Humility is at the heart of real saving faith. And that's one of the things being brought out to us here. So it suggests as well, brothers and sisters, this longing for justice that Habakkuk has, that so many people today have, we have to be so careful. Because it's so easy to think when you want to see justice and judgment, you say, those are the bad guys over there. If God would just do something about them, then all would be right. But if we've really grasped justification by faith, we'll realize it's not just over there, it's in here. And I need God to deal with me. And so I hope one thing this verse suggests is there is this virtuous circle. If we grasp justification by faith, it's by mercy alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that should humble us. And if we've really got that and we humbly see how awful our sin is, then that drives us back to that precious truth as the only way. So the verse is asking, brothers and sisters, is your faith built on humility? Do you have that spirit of a broken and contrite heart? That spirit of humility and the heart of your faith in God? You know, there's that very famous story about Augustine. I'm sure I must have mentioned it before. Where it says a young student wrote to him saying, how do I become a Christian? What do I need to know? And Augustine said, well, there's three things you need to know. Humility, humility, humility. So God, may God give us the grace not to be the proud, but to be those who humbly, by faith, wait on the Lord. Amen.